Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Nikah qade masno, dukhe dil ka marham. Nikah qade masno, dukhe dil ka marham. Ye farma gaye hai Rasool-e Mukarram. Ye farma gaye hai Rasool-e Mukarram. Ye shaadi hai beshak mohabbat ka zina. Ye shaadi hai beshak mohabbat ka zina. Baharon ki aamad saba ka tarannum. Baharon ki aamad saba ka tarannum. Nikah-e masno dukhe dil ka marham. Ye farma gaye hai Rasool-e Mukarram. Ye shaadi ki taqreeb sabko mubarak. Ye shaadi
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. It's 6 minutes after 11 South African time. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning. It's a public holiday. It's, of course, Human Rights Day, as they say, Freedom Day. Today is the 25th of Ramadan 1443, which is also the 27th of April 2022. I want to welcome our beloved engineer, Brother Bonface. He will be with me till now to 12 o'clock. I want to welcome our beloved listeners of Sirius FM. And I want to welcome our beloved wonderful listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Any questions you have, inshallah, you know our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, plus 2-784-786-3132. Plus 2-784-786-3132. Let's welcome our beloved senior respected honorable Fadilatul Ustad. Ustad, welcome to the bliss of marriage. This Wednesday morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum on Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
A listener says, if I decided to change my baby's daughter's name within the first 7 days, and I have already done the aqiqah using the first name chosen, Ustad, what's the Muslim that, Ustad?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nuswalli ala rasulihi al-kareem, amma ba'd, all praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Say, for example, you kept your daughter's name Asma, and then you made and you slaughtered one goat or one sheep, and thereafter 2-3 days you say, no, I'm changing the name from Asma to Husna or to Zainab or Fatima or Aisha, Jamila, whatever. So now what happens? So you don't have to repeat the aqiqah. That first aqiqah is valid, there's no problem with that. So as long as now you're happy, not you keep on changing and so forth. So the main thing is, you must remember, إِنَّكُمْ تُدْعَوْنَ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ بِأَسْمَائِكُمْ وَأَسْمَائِ آبَائِكُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا أَسْمَاءَكُمْ. The hadith in Abu Dawood and in Mishkat Sharif, verily you will be called by your name and your father's name on the day of justice. Therefore choose good names. Abdul Qadir bin Ismail, Arafat bin Ibrahim, like that. So as long as the name you chose is a good name, you pronouncing it correctly and has a good meaning, so alhamdulillah, everything is fine. Keep on making dua for your beloved bundle of joy and your daughters and your children and your sons. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata a'yun. Oh beloved Allah, grant us such spouses and such children that are the coolness of the eyes. So in that way, Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala will bless all of you, inshaAllah.
After marriage, Ustad, can the wife keep her mother's house as a watan, as well as the husband's house ustad.
Remember that what she's trying to say, let's clarify the question here. She says she's from Durban, and now she's married in Pretoria, she's married in married in Johannesburg, married in Newcastle, married in Heidelberg, married in Cape Town. Now she wants to say that she wants to consider the place where she was born, her parents' place, her mother's place, also as a hometown, and she wants to consider the place where she is with the husband, so that also is a hometown, so that's not permissible in your case. You are now tabi. Tabi means you have to follow your husband. So once you were from Durban, and now you are married to somebody here in Gauteng, you're married to somebody in Limpopo, you're married to somebody in Western Cape, Eastern Cape, Cape Town, Port Elizabeth, so now you are settled there with your husband, and when you go there to Durban, your hometown, for 1 day, 2 day, 3 days, 100% you are musafir and you are a traveler, because that is cancelled now. You cannot make that call because you must follow your husband. So you can have ta'addudul awtan. You can have two hometowns. You must remember, when I was in Newcastle, for 20 years, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, I used to consider Newcastle also as my hometown. I used to consider Heidelberg also as my hometown. So that is permissible. But for you, you cannot do that, because you must remember this wisdom in that. You are trying to say that you're not 100% still dedicated, devoted to your marriage, and therefore you say no, you're considering where your husband stays, that also your hometown, and where your parents stay also. So that's not right. So you must give everything to your husband in the sense that you will say, we will be together in thick and thin, and where you move, I move with you, and that will become our hometown. So that is the wisdom of it.
The question says, Ustad, that Mufti Saab, if ever we get 28 rosas this year in Mauritius, the listener is from Mauritius, by the way, Ustad, yes, we shall keep it after Eid, but what will happen to the Tarawih preceding the rosa, Ustad?
All that will be forgiven. So this is called, you must remember, ijtihad. Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah was a genius, and he was one of the first people ever to write a book on usulul fiqh, the laws and the principles regarding jurisprudence, a risala, and for you students and ulama, I don't know if you know about this book, but you must get it, a risala, and try and get the one with a tahqiq, and edited by Sheikh Ahmed Muhammad Shakir. He was one of the great, great muhaddisin and scholars in Egypt. I have some of his books, Sheikh Ahmed Muhammad Shakir. So get that one with a risala. So in there you will find, wala inkara fil ijtihad. When you make ijtihad, so this is ijtihad in this sense. So they said no, they will wait till the sighting of the moon and so forth. So if it is 28 days, then obviously it was wrong what they did, but there will be no sin upon you for missing the Tarawih and so forth. So in a case like that, as I told you, that the ulama of Mauritius, they just need to review this whole issue one more time. When I was there the last time, Mauritius, I visited, I don't know how many times, 5, 6, 7 times or when. So anyway, that you must remember, they told me themselves, the ulama, that where they are in Port Louis and so forth, if their person saw the moon and the crescent there in Rodericks, they don't accept it. If somebody sights it there in Reunion, they don't accept it. So according to me, that is not right. You must remember. Therefore, if you have 28 days, then remember, that will prove our point, that what your stance is wrong, and you must then inform the people that you're having 28 days, 1 day will be qaza, and you will have to make Eid, but you will have to change that policy of yours. You can't continue with something, you must remember, that you know you are wrong on, then that becomes becomes pride and arrogance. Batarul haq wa ghamtun nas. What is the definition of pride? Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the truth comes and you reject it. You say, who are you to come and tell us? So you consider yourself superior and you consider other people inferior. So that is the exact definition. So therefore, we should understand that this great wisdom that you include the whole Mauritius at least. So that much you should do. That is my suggestion to you.
Ustad, there's a confusing question. It says that, dear Honorable Mufti Sab, whose decision should it be to wear parda, the husband or the wife? I am a Hafiza, but I'm not in parda. We married for 6 months. Now it has become a problem to my husband because he wants me to go into parda because maybe of my Jamal. He says the condition was he gave me 1 month to go into parda or else a talak will be given, Ustad.
Remember, I'm surprised that you asking this question. Leave your husband out. Leave yourself out. You say you're a Hafiza, so you will know the verse, Surah 33, verse 59. Almighty Allah says you have to wear it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says you have to wear it. And it's compulsory. It's not the way you are carrying on, that it's something that is mustahab or optional or something. Ya ayyuhan Nabi, Surah 33, Surah Ahzab, verse 59. Qul li azwaj, tell your beloved wives, Wabanatik, and your beloved daughters, Wanisa il Mu'mineen, and the men, they must tell their women, my mother, my daughter, my sister, my wife, my niece. So, Wanisa il Mu'mineen, that Yudnina alayhinna min jalabi bihin, they must wear the jilbab. And remember, when you go to Ra'isul Mufassirin, the greatest commentator of the Noble Quran, Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and Sahaba, they say it means to cover the whole body for the lady, including the face, illa wajha, illa kafaya, or yadeha, that except the hands and so forth. So remember, where it's written, illa wajha, that means salat time and all that, you don't have to cover it if there's only ladies there. So it's compulsory upon you that you should not be even waiting for 6 months and 1 month and that. From now it's Ramadan, so you should be wearing the parda, and it's compulsory upon you. So don't make it an issue. Remember, Muslim and Muslimah. Muslim means we submit, surrender to whatever Almighty Allah commanded us to do, and we submit and surrender to whatever Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded us to do. If you know Arabic or you get somebody to teach you that, go open the book Rawa'i'ul Bayan by Sheikh Muhammad Ali Sabuni, rahimahullah, the big ustad of ours, our big sheikh, and he was from Halab, from Aleppo. He spent 50 years plus in Makkah Mukarrama. He passed away last year in Istanbul. He's buried there in Turkey. So he wrote a wonderful article on this topic, Bid'atu Kashfil Wajhi, for the woman to expose her face to all and sundry is bid'ah and haram and not permissible.
Allahu Akbar. The Hafiza sister says if she does not want to go into, will the talaq take place? The condition talaq will start.
If she don't wear it, definitely the talaq will take place. You must remember that. So I'm telling you, leave your husband out. Leave your ideas out. You must see what Quran is saying, what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying. So that is the main thing.
Somebody says, I hope you're keeping well, dear Honorable Respected Mufti Sab. I wanted to ask for wazifas to read for a good proposal. Ustad.
Read every day. Today it's Wednesday. We sent it out, the reminder for Wednesdays, that in the afternoon, after Zuhur Salat, read 2 rakat, Nafil Salat, voluntary Salat extra. And then you read the dua, Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun Read Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, Ya Wadud, and ask Allah for khair. Don't just ask Allah to get married. Say, let me get married to that boy who's khair for me, good for me in this world. In the year after, he will take us. We both go to Jannah. You, the boy, don't just look at the mal and the jamal, the wealth and the beauty and handsomeness or the attractiveness of the girl. You must say, Ya Allah, let me get married to that lady if there is khair in it and there's goodness for it for me and my children to come and so forth and so on.
I see the revered brother says, tell Mufti Sab, there was a brother, a sheikh, who asked this question, how do you recognize the hypocrites in our day and age? Oh sheikh, the answer was, when Islam is attacked, they remain silent, and when Muslims make mistakes, they suddenly appear. A revered brother, Ustad.
Yes, you must remember that when Muslims are attacked, you see, who will speak about Palestine? Who will speak about Saudi Arabia? Who will speak about the Arab regimes? They are the ones attacking Islam. They are de-Islamicizing things. Mecca, Medina, who in his right mind 20 years ago, 10 years ago, would have thought that there would be cinema in Medina Munawwara? Who would have thought in Jeddah they will have bikini beaches? Who in his right mind would think that the king of Saudi Arabia, his son, the crown prince, will be rejecting the ahadith of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam? So these are the people who are the enemies of Islam. Then you go to Dubai, same thing. Everything haram there. Remember, the wine is there, the alcohol is there, the bikinis are there. To speak of Islam, you can't speak. Tabligh Jamaat is banned. So the good people, they ban them. And the vices, they let it flourish. And then they will say the Muslim country, or Islamic country. What Islamic country? That you are the worst people, murtads you are. So you must remember, they go to right through almost. Waylul lil Arab. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's authentic hadith. So you must remember, is what? That woe and destruction to the Arabs, because they themselves now, they want to do bootlicking of the West and America and Israel and so forth. They think white is right and the West is the best. So instead of saying Islam is the best and we want to share it with the rest, remember the hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the signs of a hypocrite are three. Some ahadith, four. So I mentioned them to you. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبَ. When they speak lies. Just see how the people lies. How the sheikhs, they lie. How the maulvis lie. So you must remember that. How we catch them out in South Africa. In the weekend, Sunday, MJC, people of Cape Town sheikhs, meeting with the Shias. And they all together. Now I'm asking you, when you behave like this, what face you got to show Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? These same kuffar Shias are swearing, cursing Sayyidah Aisha radiallahu anha. They are cursing, swearing Sayyidah Hafsa radiallahu anha. What face you got to show Sayyidah Abu Bakr Siddiq, Sayyidah Umar Farooq, when they are cursing them and sending a lanat on them and so forth? But you go and mingle with them and so forth. Today what they got? Today they got mass iftars. You understood? With the honorable mayor of, you must remember, Cape Town and so forth. And the mayor and them DA. So are they not Jews? Are they not supporting the Jews? Are they not supporting Israel? Then next day you will say, we must march, march for Palestine. You see, that is the thing. That just play, all sides, just play, play, play. Bring this politician to the masjid, bring that one to the mosque, as though as the mosque is a civic center, you know. So these, we got enemies within our own ranks. These are the hypocrites of Islam. إِذَا حَدَّثَ كَذَبْ. When they speak lies. وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخَلَفْ. And when they promise, they don't fulfill the promises. Remember that. And وَإِذَا أَتُمِنَ خَانْ. And when you give them amanat, then they make khiyanat. See, Their own Molana, their own person wrote, 900,000 was given, 60,000 is accounted for. Where's the others? You get the other Molvis, also another bunch, Allah knows what. They took Masjid Aqsa and they start selling shares, symbolic shares. I'm asking you, are you all gone crazy or what? Just to make money? And then they want to join this business group, that business group. So everything we're exposing. So that's why we say that the ulama, what Sufyan Thawri said, Ya milha al-umma, idha fasad al-milhu, fasad al-tu'am. Once the salt gets rotten, then the food is rotten. When the Maulvis, majority of them, the sheikhs, majority of them, are corrupted, make haram things halal, make haram things sharia compliant, just to make money. That's all. That's the bottom line. So you must remember, then it's compulsory for us to make amal bil ma'ruf, nahy anil munkar. Whether people like or don't like, we told you 100 times, we're not here to curry favor with any person, any organization, any politician or any government. We are here to defend Islam and propagate true Islam. That must be our function. وَإِذَا تُمِنَ خَان and وَإِذَا خَاسَمَ فَجَرَ and when they get involved in an argument, they won't be able to debate with you, discuss with you. I gave them challenge how many times? I told Jusa, come, we debate all these issues publicly on air. I told MJC, come, we discuss everything on air. I told Darul Ihsan, come, we discuss on air. I told the Salafis, come, we discuss on air. We told the Shias, come, we discuss on air. All your cursing, swearing, and so forth. Not one is prepared to come. Why? So you can understand yourself. So remember, there's so many issues. So all this year. So therefore, we must understand who are the hypocrites and selling the deen of Islam in this day and this age. Allah alone protect us. And remember one more point. This is a big sickness today in our own fraternity and the Muslim Ummah. You get people, they say, no man, just be, you know, easy. Just sit on the fence. Just sit on the fence. When you sit on the fence, you are committing a major offense.
Haq.
Remember that sentence lifelong. When you sit on the fence, you are committing a major, major offense.
I think there's a brother misunderstanding you, Ustad, from Boysons. He would like to remain anonymous. He says, but didn't Nabi Salam say in a hadith that you should obey the law of the country? So why is Mufti Sahab against MBS? Shouldn't they obey the law of the king in Saudi, Ustad?
So since when you have Kufar king? You have Kufar king. So the person who rejects hadith, the person who brings bikini beaches to Jeddah, the person who brings the women and the singers, you call him Muslim. A person builds cinema in Medina. Pakka murtad, you must remember what a Muslim they are. Pakka murtad they are. If you got doubt in that, then you also go out of Islam. No. There's nothing like that. You must obey rulers in haram. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith. Go open Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, Ibn Majah, all. La ta'ata li makhlukin fi ma'siyatil khaliq. There is no obedience to any creation when it leads to a sin against the creator. So you living in South Africa, so you must be obedient to the rulers. You saw my message we sent out today. Today is Freedom Day. Today is not Human Rights Day, it's Freedom Day. So they told us on the 27th of April 1994, we all must go to vote. We get democracy. So 28 years later, what we got, that is the message we sent out. Potholes, the footprints of the ANC. Go everywhere, pothole, 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 pothole. And that is there. So that is what you got. So that is what your democracy brought to the masses and the people. Everything they lost out. Education they lost out. Hospital, medical they lost out. You must remember, petrol we lost out. electricity we lost out, our arms and ammunition we lost out, stealing, double A, double distinction, corruption, double A. So that is what your democracy brought. That is the curse of South Africa. Remember, we're going worse than Africa also. So rapidly, we had one of the best infrastructures, and you see everything falling apart. Allah alone have mercy on us.
Allahu Akbar. Ameen, Ustad. Anonymous says, my husband controls me, but mixes so freely with women. Ustad.
Yes, you must remember, the husband, some of them, you can't say all now, that for their wife, they will say this is Islam. But when it comes to them, themselves, they'll say kullu halal. That he can mix with a woman, he can flirt with them, he can joke with them, all that. So we're not saying now the wife must go flirt with men, but if you're applying the law to your wife, then how come you're justifying all the haram things for yourself? So remember, brother, Deen of Islam don't work like that. Deen of Islam is that we must be the role model for the wife, to show her that I will bring you closer to Islam, and she must bring you closer to Islam. Not that you have one law for her and one law for yourself. You tell your children don't smoke, but all day you busy. I'm getting questions this now also. So the people say, I'm sitting, listen to this question. Mm-hmm. I'm sitting in etikaf. Can I do vaping in etikaf? Can I do smoking in etikaf? Mm-hmm. So to all of them, I gave one answer. I said, it's better you go home and don't pollute the masjid and the boundary of the masjid and even the outside of the masjid. What good is your etikaf when you want to do vaping, you want to do smoking, you want to do all this kind of thing? Better go sit in your house. Why you come and pollute the masjid and all these type of things there? So you see, when people don't know or don't want to know, you must remember what it is to desecrate the masjid. You know what Nabi alayhi salatu salam said? Mm-hmm. People who come, you must remember, with this bad, bad odor, they must rather leave. They mustn't come here. فَلَا يَقْرَبَنَّ مَسْجِدَنَا. So all this kind. So why? Because the masjid is Allah's house. Mm. We must show the etiquettes and show respect to it. It's not some stadium and civic center and all that, as some people think nowadays.
Allahu Akbar, subhanAllah. Listener says, Ustad, so for example, if I own nothing, all I own is a gold ring, which is about 10K, and my salary is under 5K, am I allowed to get zakat from a Jamaat member? Anonymous sister, Ustad.
No, you're not allowed. You must pay zakat. What are you going to collect zakat? It's haram for you. You must remember that you must pay zakat. The nisab for zakat is 8,000 rand. You got 10,000 rand ring and that. So zakat is compulsory upon you. For you to collect zakat is haram. You say then how much you pay zakat? So you can pay zakat in cash or in kind, with your clothing, with your pots, with your pans, with your crockery, cutlery. So many different ways you can pay zakat. For you to take zakat is totally haram and unacceptable.
084-786-3132. I don't know if you start to remember that sister, that accountant sister, that message yesterday on the bliss of marriage. She says, "By dear Mufti Sahib, why are you so negative about life?" Ustad, that accountant sister.
Anonymous. So you must remember, we're very positive. That's why you're listening to us. You must remember that. So we give you straight what Quran and Hadith teaches. We're not here to curry favor. You must remember, you accustomed to your crooked maulvis and sheikhs who want to make you happy and displease Almighty Allah and displease Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We not like that. We tell you what the Sharia is straight, whether you like it or you don't like it.
Who said if the husband or wife passes away, can the remaining spouse sit in the same room as the deceased before the ghusl, Ustad?
So you must remember that if the husband passed away, the wife is in iddat. So the wife is there, so there's no problem with that. Obviously, they should try and expedite matters and not keep the body there for hours and hours. They should try and give the ghusl as soon as possible, the bathing and the shrouding, the kafan and so forth. Therefore, in Islam, even the janazah Gaza. This what we got, we delay for 12 hours and 10 hours is not good. We must try and expedite all these matters. Then if the wife passes away, for the husband to be there also is fine. There's no problem with that. But remember, again, same thing, that she must be taken and the woman must give her the ghusl and so forth. And after that, the husband, but remember that the husband cannot touch her skin to skin, according to Hanafi school. According to the Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbalis, is totally permissible. Now see, this is fiqh, this is jurisprudence. When we ask the Shafi'is, the Malikis, the Hanbalis, that why you say they can touch, the dalil and evidence is Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he touched Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. He was part of giving ghusl to her, as Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha made wasiyat, and he performed the Salatul Janaza. He buried Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha at night and so forth. So all this happened and is documented. There's no delay argument about this. Now when we ask the Hanafi scholars, they say you can see her, you can carry her, the Janaza, you can go in the grave, you can bury her, but skin to skin you can't touch her. But we say why? So they say because now the nikah for him, the husband, is broken, and he can marry that wife now who passed away, her sister. So when you can marry the sister, then how you can touch the wife? Then it will mean you are combining two sisters, which Quran Kareem states is not permissible. Surah 4, verse 23, وَأَن تَجْمَعُوا بَيْنَ الْأُخْتَيْنِ, and remember to combine two sisters one time in your nikah is haram and not permissible.
Who said a listener says, are men allowed to put mendi on their pinky finger? Someone said it's sunnah for men to put on their pinky finger. Ustad?
No such thing like that. People must remember that there's some India, Pakistani people, they do that. So therefore, they may be told you, there's no sunnah for men. Mendi is sunnah for the women, yes, not for men. Yes, for men, they want to put mendi on their beard and hair and all that. That's fine. But not black. Remember that. Mustafa, the black dye is haram for men and women. So remember that to use on the hair. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hadith mentioned, you must remember to Abu Quhafa. He is the father of Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ghayyiru shayb. His hair was gone whitish, grayish. Nabi alayhi salatu salam told him that you must change the color of your hair. Wajtanibu sawad, but abstain from black. His authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim. So if you do it brown, for example, dark brown, all that will be permissible. So for the women to put mendi on the hand, all that fine sunnah. For the man, there's no such thing as sunnah and all that regarding that. Yes, on the beard and that you apply, that's fine, but not black. We must be very careful about that.
There's a little girl by the name of Khadija. She's 11 years old. She says, Mufti Saab, my aunties and all are all debating because I know Mufti Saab's birthday was last week. So please, Mufti Saab, how old is Mufti Saab, little Khadija, Ustad?
I had two birthdays last week. Uh-huh. So I had the Gregorian calendar and I had Islamic calendar also. So how old you keep on guessing, mashallah.
Okay, Ustad. Little Khadija says, Shukran, Mufti Saab. Is it permissible to pay zakat in advance? Say paying next year's zakat together with this year's and then to adjust for difference next year, Ustad?
Regarding the age, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said the hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, A'maru ummati bayna sitteen wa sab'een. Hadith in Tirmidhi. The average age of this ummah is between 60 and 70. Wa aqalluhum may yujawizu zalik. Very few people go beyond that. As you can see today, so I'm in that age there. So you got the idea.
Allah give you long life.
So you must remember, So you must remember, yeah, there are three issues. Mm-hmm. Issue number one, you have to pay zakat this year, 1443, 10,000 rand. So you pay 10,000 rand, so very good. You said, no, let me pay 20,000 rand. 10,000 rand for this year, and I pay advance for next year as well. So that is fine and permissible. However, now when next year comes, if your zakat is 10,000 for next year, it's fine, it's paid. But if it is 12, 15,000, then you have to pay that, you must remember. And that 2,000, 5,000 extra, you still have to pay. But what happens? You paid 10,000 for 1444. But your zakat business went bad. This happened. Your zakat worked out to be 8,000, 6,000, not 10,000. So it means you overpaid. Now what? You can't say, no. Now this is for 1445. You can't do that. So what you're going to do in that case, you will say that, Ya Allah, in the past, the mistakes I made, and maybe I paid less than what I supposed to pay. So that extra there, let it compensate for the past. So that is how it will work out. So you got three different scenarios. When you made taqdeem uz-zakat means you paid in advance, you paid extra, and you paid for next year. So if it's the same amount, fine. If it is less, then you must fill in more, put in more. But if it's more, you can't carry it forward now. You must say it's for the previous years where you made mistake and where you shortchanged the zakat and you paid less. That is how you should work it out. And remember, that's a very good thing to do.
Just one more question, Ustad, quick before we go for an interval. It says, is it permissible to buy fake vaccination certificates and also claiming to perform Umrah in order to get onto the Mataf only to do the Tawaf, Ustad?
Remember, yeah, there are three separate issues. Issue number one, vaccination is haram. I told you this whole pandemic is nothing but a plandemic. Everything is coming out now. The biggest doctors, scientists are telling you how they were fooling people. And then we told you from day one, but you don't believe. Now you see. So therefore, you know, in Israel, how many people are dying? How many people are infected with terrible, terrible diseases? Because there, they were so strict. Go to America, go to Europe and see. How many people? The media won't tell you all this. You have to go and search. Then you will find the true figures of all this. So this was not a pandemic. It was a plandemic that they wanted to control the population. As far as we go, South Africa, Africa, as far as they are concerned, the white hegemony, that the new world order, the reset, we are a liability to them. Remember that. They say you can wipe out the whole Africa, the better it will be. That they just good for the bowling, for the begging bowl, you know. Yeah, Nigalo Mali, give us money. We got this, we got. So they better get rid of them. So that's their idea, the white man's idea, white hegemony. So you must remember this type of things here. If you know the real geopolitics, what's going on. So they made the people fools because they know masses are asses. You must remember. Remember that. So that is what happens. So that's one issue. We told you from day one. And all these Maulvis who went and told the people, you must take vaccination, you must close masjid, see where they are, how disgraced they are, and so forth and so on. You all know what happened. So that's one. Two, now you want to go and bribe somebody. You know, South Africa, bribery everywhere. So now you get a vaccination. So you get the certificate. So Nabi alayhi salatu salam's authentic hadith in Bayhaqi, La'ana Allah wa rashi wal murtashi wal ra'ish. Allah Ta'ala's curse is on the one who pays the bribery, the one who receives it, and in between the third party. He say, it's not what you know, is who you know. Mm. He say, I got all the context. Muni warini, excel alles rechmak. That's what he says. Excel alles rechmak. I'll sort it out. So he gets his share. So all parties are cursed. So how can that be permissible? Totally haram. Now we go for umrah. This umrah and all that of today is just to massage our ego. You must remember these type of things. In most instances, it has become a shopping spree or a holiday and so forth. I don't say all, but I'll say in many cases. So now what need there is to go for umrah with bribery and all these type of things? You ask yourself. So remember. So don't fool yourself with this type of thing.
Let's go, inshallah, to our next question, 084786-3132. Somebody wants to know, Ustad, that how must we complete our Quran, Ustad, our Quran Sharif?
MashaAllah, try and complete your Quran Sharif in this week, yeah, because during Ramadan is much more rewarding and sawab. So anytime you can do so, and if you complete it tomorrow night, because it is Sattai Iswishab, it is 27 night, inshaAllah, it is Laylatul Qadr, and Almighty Allah Jalla Wala, out of His Fadl, His grace, His mercy, is giving us Laylatul Jumu'ah tomorrow night, 10:27 night, inshaAllah, Laylatul Qadr. And remember, if you make Laylatul Khatmil Quran and you complete your Quran Sharif tomorrow, so that will be an extra bonus. I'm completing also, inshaAllah, tomorrow in my Taraweeh. Normally, we complete on the 29th night, but because of all this year, so we read a little bit extra and complete tomorrow, inshaAllahul Aziz. So that's one issue. Then whenever you complete the Quran, whether during Ramadan or the other 11 months, that when you come to the last 22 surahs, so you come to Surah Wadduha, the last 22 surahs, so you must remember Wadduha. Then you read, Wa amma bi ni'mati rabbika fahaddith, Allahu Akbar. Then Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alam Nash. And then فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. So after every surah, you say Allah Akbar once, twice, all that is fine. It's a sunnah. And remember, you want references, go open Tafsir Ibn Kathir, is in Arabic, Urdu also, nowadays English also. And in Urdu, you get Ma'ariful Quran in Urdu and English. So you will see the discussion there. So that's one. Second one, when you finish and complete the Quran Sharif, Minal Jinnati Wan Nas, Allahu Akbar. Then make a khatam, make a dua, and that is collective dua also. Anas radiallahu an, who was the special attendant, the khadim khas of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, jama'a ahlahu wa awladahu, is together his wives and children and grandchildren and all. So if you got the arba'een, the 40 ahadith compilation of Nawawi, Allama Nawawi, you'll find it there as well. And the mistake you will find our people make, and in the Quran where you have the dua. So the dua is not part of Quran, that is just people wrote it. There they write there, Allahumma dhakirni minhuma nasitu. You shouldn't read it like that. The hadith in Bukhari Sharif is very clear. Bi'samali ahadim ayyakul nasitu ayata kaita wa kait. It's a horrible, bad for a person to say, I forgot this verse, I forgot that verse. Balnussiya, he was made to forget. So if you're reading the dua individually, Allahumma dhakirni minhuma nussitu, not nasitu, nussitu, not the active form, the passive form. And plural, Allahumma dhakirna minhuma nussina. So you will see the imams in the haram. Tonight is 27 night there. So on Friday night, they will complete the Quran Sharif in the dua, 1 o'clock. So you must listen to it. Or in the Taraweeh, they will complete it. You must remember that. So that you hear that what they say, Allahumma dhakirna minhuma nussina. So you must remember. So that is how the proper manner, method of making the dua. So this is for all times, not only during Ramadan. So inshallah, tomorrow with Sirius FM, Radio Al Ansar International, and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, between 10 p.m. at night tomorrow till 10:40, inshallah, we have a program, and there'll be dua, first advices and dua. So all of you should try and participate, inshallah, diarize it tomorrow evening, 10 p.m. to 10:40, inshallah al-Aziz.
Ameen. Ustaz, is it permissible to name a child by the English name of a prophet? For example, Jesus instead of Isa, Moses instead of Musa, and Mary instead of Maryam, Ustaz.
Permissible, it is permissible, but we will say it's not desirable. Rather use the Quranic terminology, Sayyida Maryam radiallahu anha, the only lady whose name, Nami Nami Isme Grami, her honorable name mentioned 34 times in the noble Quran. So remember, you're going to say Mary. So Mary is not mentioned. So Maryam, you say, you get greater reward also. And chapter 19 is dedicated to this great, great lady, Isa, instead of Jesus. Nabi Isa alayhi salam's Mubarak name 25 times in the noble Quran. Ibrahim 69 times in the noble Quran, instead of Abraham. So like that. So we will never encourage that. We will encourage, use the Arabic name, the Quranic name, and that will be 100% desirable and much more meritorious as well.
Ustaz, tomorrow night most probably inshallah will be 27 night, inshallah, the big night, inshallah. What happens to all those sisters, Ustad, who are in menses? What should they do, Ustad?
Remember, you should not be crying and disappointed and so forth. Inna Allah kataba hadhihi ala banati Adam. See, I show you how many things you can do. It is the night of Jumu'ah. So, akthiru min as-salati alayya yawm al-jumu'ah. Read abundant salawat, durud sharif, salutations upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Afdalu zikri la ilaha illallah. Then read la ilaha illallah abundantly. Then third one, istighfar. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah rabbi min kulli dhambin wa atubu ilay. Learn to speak to Almighty Allah. Raise your hands. Praise Almighty Allah. See, I teach you how you must praise Almighty Allah. The hadith in Targhib wa Tarheeb. When you start your dua, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Ya Hannan, Ya Mannan, Ya Dhal Jalali Wal Ikram, Ya Arhamar Rahimeen, La Ilaha Illa Wal Rahmanur Rahim, La Ilaha Illa Wal Hayyul Qayyum. See how many different ways. So choose anyone you want to. If you choose all, very good. If you choose some of them, also good. So first we praise Almighty Allah. Thereafter you read salawat, salutations, and send the blessings and salutations upon Nabiul Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter you beg Almighty Allah. You can't read Salat, you can't touch Quran, you can't read Quran. So you raise your hands and speak to Allah. English, Afrikaans, Zulu, Meman, Gujarati, Urdu, Greek, Portuguese, whatever language you're comfortable with. So how much you can beg and ask Almighty Allah jalla wala. And the greatest dua we should ask, Ya Allah, let us live with Iman and Islam, and let us die with Iman and Islam. Surah 12, Surah Yusuf, verse 101. Tawaffani muslima wa alhiqni bis-salihin. Ya Allah, let me die with Iman and Islam, and unite me with the devout and pious servants. And for our day-to-day life, beg Almighty Allah for afia. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afia. I ask you for forgiveness. The word afia, an encyclopedic meaning, our health, our wealth, our honor, everything that's permissible and good, we're begging Almighty Allah through this one word here. But today we forget to even do that. For your children, make that dua. Ya Allah, give my beloved flowers and children afia. Give my wife afia. You the ladies, give my husband afia. My parents, like that you should be making dua. Whole ummah is suffering, and for them we should be making, crying, begging Almighty Allah Jalla Wala.
Ustad, just three more questions quickly. One says, Ustad, please advise us whether it is permissible to attend the Eidgah in Lent. And one is, if I am a Hanafi, can I go and perform Eidgah with the Shafi'i? Ustad?
So you must remember, regarding the Witr Salat, regarding the Eid Salat, irrespective of who your Imam is, whether he's a Shafi'i, he's a Maliki, he's a Hanafi, he's a Hanbali, so you must remember that we will say that as long as they belong to the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah and they fulfill the criteria to be an Imam, so remember that that is what we will say, that it is totally permissible. Witr Salat behind the Shafi is for Hanafi. We eat Salat behind the Shafi'i, Maliki, Hanbali for Hanafi, or the Hanafi Imam and the Shafi's follow. All that permissible. Regarding the Eidgah in lands, we say no. We agree with the Majlis, Hazrat Maulana Ahmad Sadiq Desai, that we must not go there. You must remember that. Why you should not go there? Because they have sold out Islam, you must remember. Absolutely, they sold out Islam, and they bring the politicians here. I told you that time also, they polluted it, and now you can see, these are the same people who closed our masajid, the same people who joined the lesbians, the same people who lied, and then when we as Darul Iman told them we're going to take them to court, then they had to apologize. They said their fatwas are binding on the people of South Africa. Their fatwas are not worth the paper on which is written, and they had the audacity to say that on their letterhead. And then they said that they represent the whole of South Africa, the UKSA, all the organizations, the ulama organization. What the lies. So how can we be part and parcel of that? We say no, Muslims, the men should not go there.
Listen to the sound, Ustad. It's been a year and a half where I was against you, and I went to the extent I broke the Merka Sahaba decoder, and today I regret what I did, Ustad. And I see you're a man of haq. I now bought the Merka's decoder again. Please forgive me, Brother Joey. Ustad.
My brother Yusuf, in life, we all make mistakes. I don't know you. Every day people swear me. I got no problem with that. We in the media 21 years now and few months. So we used to all this, my brother. But one advice I will give you in life. Never, ever try and please people. Always please Almighty Allah. Always please Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't worry of people. The same people who are swearing you, cursing you, one day they will come back. You see, when I was a young boy, everybody knows that I was a damalio, a real mastan. If you know Meman language, they say lucho. You'll understand. Young boy, 6, 7, 8 years old. So I was born in the African location. You understood? In Heidelberg, our shop, our house, and surrounded by the Africans and that. My best friends were the Africans and this type of thing. I could speak Zulu fluently. I used to walk Kalfoot. You understand? Barefoot, because all day we play soccer, you understand, when it's holidays and after school madrasa, I have the ball. They make nonsense, I just take the ball, match finish, you understand? So they must listen to what I say. I was the captain, you see. So when I come home, so we had a hawk. Maulana, you know what's a hawk? A hawk is a fowl run.
Okay.
Yeah. So all the chicken and all are there. So when I come from school, all that, so I go to the hawk. I give it one kick, shoot. So all the chicken run away. So my mother will shout me, again, you're making damal, and das, and das, and all that. So I say, Mommy, you don't worry. See, I'll catch them all. So I just catch the hen, the mother. I catch her, put her inside. Once you put inside, you see all of them following. You understood? So that used to give me a lot of joy. So now you use that just as an example for our puny brains. In life, you get the hen, all the chicken will follow. So please, Allah, so what will happen? Allah controls the whole world.
Allah.
So what will happen? Everybody will turn to you sooner or later. So that is life, my brother. Don't get caught up in the propaganda. because the truth is very bitter. You heard my sister accountant? So that is where you are. Oh, you're getting caught up in a lot of propaganda and lies. We don't curry favor with any person, any organization, any politician, any government. We are here to defend Islam and to promote through Islam. That is what we stand for, my brother. From my side, all forgiven. I don't even know you, but we forgive you. So don't say Joey, say Yusuf. So that is the good name.
Tell him not
you.
To break the markaz, the Ahmadi code again. Ustaz, just before you leave, I broke my sunnat itikaf. How much do I pay?
Remember, people who broke their sunnat itikaf, then according to Shafi'is, Maliki's, Hanbali's, there is no qada, nothing. If you are following the Hanafi school, you broke your itikaf because you had to go for a janaza, or you fell ill, or the lady every day she want to go take a bath and whatever and so forth. Say, no, I'm feeling very, very uncomfortable. I must go bath. So your itikaf is broken. So you must remember that today, Maghrib time, till tomorrow, Maghrib time. Or tomorrow, Thursday, Maghrib, till Friday, Maghrib. So you sit there in your designated place and you fast as normal. So that will be the qaza. You don't have to make qaza of all 9-10 days. You don't have to make qaza of the remaining days. Only one day, 24 hours. So Maghrib to Maghrib, and that is the fatwa and the verdict. So we should understand that. Okay. Quickly to give you the inshallah, that the program now 12 to 1 Maulana Suleiman Qattani inshallah, 1 o'clock Zohar Azan, 105 to 130 my tafsir, Surah Jasiya chapter 45 of the Noble Quran, and verses 15 to 25, 130 to 2 from the archive Surah Hajj. Today we're finishing Surah Hajj, and that is Surah Hajj chapter 22, and it is the last verse. Very interesting. Listen to it. Verse 78, 2 to 230, special Ramadan Q&A with Brother Suleiman Esop and myself. 2:30 to 3, current affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali. 3 to 3:40, the repeat of this morning's Q&A. 3:40 to 4 will be du'as and zikr. 4 o'clock, the Asr Adhan to 5:15, 5:20, Maulana Khalid Yaqub. Thereafter, that will be Hafiz Wadi till Durban Maghrib time, Iftar time. And thereafter, the Masnoon Surahs and so forth. Thereafter, 6:20 or so will be Brother Yusuf Ali with the Iftar program. 10 to 7 or so will be Maulana Zahid Khan. 7:15 we go for the local Taraweeh to Avondale, Durban, and inshallah 8:20, 8:25 to Makkah Mukarramah. 10 o'clock will be Mufti Yaqub Valley, inshallah. 10:30 will be Maulana Dawood Siddat. So that is our program for tonight. Make dua this afternoon and tonight. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And of course, tomorrow morning, 3 to 6, Noor al-Suhoor, the Noor of Sehri. Up next, the 12 o'clock news with Haji Suleiman Esop.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.